B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Celtics lost a home game to the Phoenix Suns on the 18th of January and had the mighty Lakers coming in.
Yeah.
They had lost 6 of 8. And the season was looking like it might be starting to fade back to reality. Instead, the Celtics have dominated since that time, losing only 3 times in the last 6 weeks. And one of the teams that beat them, the Houston Rockets, coming into Boston on Saturday night. A spectacular finish to an amazing road trip for Jason Tatum and the Celtics. 33 for Tatum tonight as the Celtics pull away late and beat the Utah Jazz by a final of 114-103.
Hour number 2, Felger and Mazz, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston, which is also presented by DraftKings from Banner's Kitchen and Tap. Celtics last night, big boy win. Big boy win, back-to-back, second of back-to-back, against a Utah team that's been struggling. Utah's, I think, lost 4 straight now at home or something, but that's still a good Utah team. It's a top Western team.
And typically in that building, too.
Good in that building, typically. Not recently, but typically. And you're the second of back-to-back, closing out the road trip, and you go in there and win by double digits, or 9, whatever. Big boy win.
Absolutely. No two ways about it. I thought they had a good trip those last 3 games. In particular, they could have won them all. I mean, the Laker game, they almost won in L.A.
So impressive, in fact, that if you go to 98.5thesportshub.com, there's a story posted on our website. Maz, : the ascension of Jason Tatum, ... and the rise of the Celtics. Now, do you write the headlines or not?
Yeah.
You do.
I was going to say, I don't write the headlines, but that's not true.
Because those are the words. Maz, : the ascension of Jason Tatum and the rise of the Celtics. Unfortunately, there's a question mark at the end of that sentence. At the end of that sentence. The ascension of Jason Tatum and the rise of the Celtics? So what does that mean?
Okay, here, you want the answer now?
What does that mean? Are you asking a question? Are you telling us that the Celts and Jason Tatum are on the ascent and they're to be taken seriously?
I'm telling you that the spring's going to be fun around here. I still... Oh. But what's wrong with that? I still think they're losing to Milwaukee, okay? But...
Well, that's not fun.
They're better than I thought they were, and the big reason is Tatum. The development of Tatum has taken him to a new place, and... Like, I'm starting to really get excited about the prospect of where they could go in years to come with this guy. This guy is turning into a superstar right in front of our eyes. I mean, some of the stuff he's doing in these games, and it's not just about the numbers. He had a 3-pointer the other night against Portland out on the left wing. I think it was Hassan Whiteside, was in his shorts, and he sidestepped and shot it over him and buried the thing. And when you start seeing that, forget it. I mean, LeBron was practically taking his pants off to him Sunday in L.A.
So, to me, it's about going to the rim. That's what I think the difference is. Because you can get hot and cold from the three-point line. I mean, as you point out in your story here, he's shooting 62.5% from behind the three-point line the last, what was the sample, 4 games?
3 games.
Last 3 games, he's shooting 62.5% from behind the three-point line. I mean, so that ain't going to sustain.
No, no, no way.
It's 50% for the month.
Okay, so like that's going to come, you know, the best three-point shooters are 40% or whatever, right? So like, so that, to me, it's the amount of times he goes to the rim and attacks the rim in the mid-range game, because that does travel, translates, you can be consistent with. The three-point thing's going to come and go a little bit. But that thing, if that's what your game is, I mean, inside, outside, you know, the handle, everything, like that.
Well, that you just can't defend. And I purposely watched the game last night on ESPN because I wanted a more neutral observation of this, because I know what I'm going to get from the guys on NBC Sports, and all due respect to them. But with the way he's been playing, I was like, you know what, let me switch it up. And you have Chauncey Billups doing color last night. And as, you know, you have him going to the rim, he's saying no one in the league right now wants to try to defend Jason Tatum, and nor can they. You know, like, that's a neutral observation for Jason Tatum for the way that he's been playing.
Was it Billups who used the word unguardable?
Yeah.
I mean, right now he is. He is. Like a guy can blow by you like that. See, he's got the quickness of a small guy, and he's got the length of a big guy. So he can shoot over a guy. And I only bring up the Whiteside three because it was contested.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and you start every, you know, you got to make the wide open ones. You start making the ones with the guys in your shorts. Like,
oh, that one was ridiculous. He was hitting FU threes. Like, those are just confidence.
I mean, really, like he scored whatever it was, 36 the other night, or, you know, and didn't take a free throw. Like, think of that.
And then in L.A., though, didn't he have, like, 15 free throws?
13 yeah. or 15 from the line.
That's the one that I look at and go, okay.
So it's like he's getting his 30 no matter what now. And I just think that, you know, we always talk about those 1, 2, 3, who's the 1, who's the 2, who's the 3. This guy is jumping into that stratosphere. He's not a 3, I'll tell you that.
Maz writes in his email, not in his column. Well, maybe I haven't gotten to it yet, but in our email anyway, you wrote, I'm close to going green.
I am. No one big bag for me, Murray. I'm going green. I'm you know, I told you, I think the kid's turned into a superstar right in front of us. And to me, it's all about the star players in that league.
So then why do you say still not going to the finals?
Because he's not quite there yet. He's got a little more work to do. And, you know, he's done it for 23 games or whatever it's been where he's played at this level, which is great to see. And I think he has turned a corner. I also think it's going to change for him soon. And then when he gets into the big games, teams are going to double-team him every time he touches the ball.
Well, I mean, again, these numbers are going to come down. I mean, in other words, I just told you, he's not going to shoot 62% from behind the line
sure.
the rest of the way. And he's shooting, again, in the last three games, he's shooting 63% overall from the floor.
Correct.
Like, those numbers are going to come down.
No, right. But what I'm saying is that teams are going to defend him differently, Mike.
Well, like they've started to. Yeah. They figured it out last night.
But he's going to see it every time. Like, because you're going to go into the games against the Celtics saying,
and Maz,
we're not going to let him score.
This is where the good team around him comes in.
Okay, but this
are you going to come around on this?
Okay, but to a degree, I'm not giving you a Hayward.
Kemba Walker?
Yeah, I like Kemba Walker. Yeah.
Jaylen Brown?
Sure.
You don't like Hayward?
I don't like the way Hayward's playing.
He sucked last night.
I think Hayward has sucked for a while.
The thing about Hayward, I think he tried last night. I thought he was really assertive with his, you know, certainly early, because he's in Utah and he likes to stick
former
it,
team.
Stick it to the, stick it to the folks out in Utah. But the shot just didn't go down. But I still think he's gonna. I still think he's gonna show himself. You know, again, because they're gonna blitz Tatum and then get the ball out of his hands. Hayward, Kemba Walker. They're going to knock down shots, man.
Yeah, so look.
And on both ends of the floor, and I know I'm going to get risk of getting mocked here. What about the way that Daniel Tice has been playing?
Non-factor to me.
So I like the way Tatum has played on the defensive end, to get back to him. But what I'm telling you is I'm not doubting
those. I'm not taking the cheese on Tice.
It's not those other guys I'm worried about. Is Tatum going to find the open guy all the time? Is he going to find the right guy all the time?
If Kemba Walker's out there, it makes it a hell of a lot easier.
Okay, so this is the one area of his game, though, that still, I think, needs a little work. That now he's getting more polish as a scorer. He's beating big guys off the dribble. He's shooting over small guys. He's scoring at will. I mean, he's turning into an elite scorer in the league. The next thing to do is, what happens when they start forcing the ball out of your hand, and where are you going with it?
Let me ask you this way. Let me facilitate for you.
I love Tatum. I've loved him since the day they drafted him.
Well, let's find out how much. If he plays this way in May, if he plays this way the way he's playing right now in the East Finals and Kemba Walker is on the floor with him, will they beat the Bucks?
No.
The answer is yes.
No.
If he shoots, if Jason Tatum shoots 63% from the floor and 62.5% from three, and he shoots 20 attempts, and Kemba Walker's on the floor, they will beat the Bucks.
Yeah, but he won't shoot that.
Okay, well, that's not what I'm asking.
That's not what I'm asking.
If if he plays the way he's playing now.
If he shoots 62.5%.
Yes.
Yeah.
If he plays the way he's playing now, will they beat the Bucks in May?
They can beat the Bucks.
No. Will they?
I'm not giving you a will. Now you're asking me to predict?
Yep.
I thought you didn't like predictions.
Jimmy makes me.
Yeah, well, then he doesn't make me, so I'm not doing it. I mean, 62.5%, what are we doing? Of course, that's a preposterous number.
Right.
They would have a chance.
He's playing out of his skull. If he's out of his skull in May, can they go to the finals? Will they go to the finals? Will.
They can.
Will.
They can.
Will.
They can.
They will.
They can.
They will.
They can.
As it is.
But they won't.
With Jason
Tatum. He's not going to be able to go to the rim against the Bucks like he does against everyone else. They get trees in there.
It's true. But, you know, Rudy Gobert is kind of a tree. And he got to the rim last night, and L.A.'s kind of large, too. I don't know if you noticed, and he got to the rim there. He got to the line 15 times. Never mind how many times he got to the rim.
Yeah, the Bucks have redwoods. They got three of them.
They just played two big teams. L.A.'s huge. L.A.'s a big team.
The Bucks inside are huge.
Yes, they are.
Gigantic. So, look, I told you, I love Tatum. I said at the very beginning, my opinion will change if Jason Tatum takes the next step. And he has. So my opinion has changed. I feel like that's consistent.
Still a little weaselly.
It's way, a little weaselly.
It's way weaselly. And, you know, it all goes back to, and this is the sticking point about, you know, being better without Kyrie Irving and his blah, 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 blah. You know, if Kyrie Irving was here, Jason Tatum would not be doing this.
Definitely not.
Right? He just wouldn't be doing this. And I don't think it's a coincidence, by the way, that he's doing this with Kemba Walker off the floor, too. And then, you know, that's... I think it's going to be value add when Walker's there because it's another guy to handle the ball when they're pressuring Tatum and all of that, another guy to knock down an open shot. But they still have to figure that out. He can be a ball-dominant guy, and so, like, let's see what Tatum does when Kemba Walker's on the floor. That's I still want to see that. But there's no way this happens if Kyrie Irving is here with his freaking miserable attitude.
I would even go so far as to say I'm not sure this happens if Hayward never get hurt. Like, Hayward at the beginning of the year was dominating the ball, and it was working, right? And then, he got hurt, and he left the lineup. He broke his hand there in the game in San Antonio, or his pinky, or whatever the hell it was. And so, you know, I add it all up because it changed the whole dynamic. This guy, Tatum, is the best pure one-on-one scorer and shot maker they have. Like, it is – they haven't had a guy like this in a long – Pierce, really.
Yeah.
So now my question is he Pierce, or can he be better than that? And because I think he's got a shot to be better than Pierce.
He's more explosive.
He's quicker.
Yes, right. Yeah, he's quicker. He's quicker.
So Pierce is probably stronger, although Tatum's getting really good around the rim. And, you know, I never thought of Pierce as a great passer. You know, he sort of disproved me a little bit when they won the championship that year, and all of a sudden he had to facilitate, and he did a little bit more. I think that's the next challenge for Tatum.
Okay. We have movement here on the show, I think.
A little bit.
Maz wrote, I'm close to going green. I know I don't need to ask you folks that.
It's more like a lime green.
And you can mix in Tatum and the Celtics with our Brady Watch conversation to you right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is your home of the Bruins. It's game day, and Felger and Maz are broadcasting from Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics defense been solid here. Long rebound for Tatum. Into the offensive end. Tatum puts it to the floor, drives past O'Neal. Finger roll off the window and in.
Too easy, too good, too quick, too fast. I'm not sure how many adjectives I have.
Everybody must look like they're going in slow motion to Jason Tatum right now. Jaylen Brown deep on the right side. For Kanter straight away. Shot clock at 12 as Tatum comes to get it out near half court. Right hand dribble. Ingles picked off, so we'll take the three from the right side and hit it.
Ooh. Man, just like he wasn't even there.
Rumble, young man, rumble. 21 for Jason Tatum. As this, he got on the plane for the West Coast last week, and he's going to come back to Boston a superstar. Tatum to his left. Bogdanovich on him. Tatum steps to the left. Three in the air. Got it!
Ooh, good night, everybody. Drive safely.
Some highlights from Jason Tatum last night. Your thoughts, Maz?
So remember that he is now exactly where Jaylen Brown was a year ago contractually. So this is the summer.
Yeah.
He is going to get a truckload.
Ben Simmons' contract.
Of cash.
Except he's actually going to deserve it.
$180 million.
What did Ben Simmons get last year?
Something like that.
It was
that.
The max.
Something like that.
They gave him the max, and the guy can't even effing shoot.
He's going to get something like that. He is going to get
What do you mean something like that? He's not going to take a penny less than that.
No, right. 35, 36, he's getting the max.
He'll get more if it's possible.
And there, it is possible.
Then he'll get more.
But, it would require, I don't want to get another one.
Thank you.
Too complicated. But he's going to make a crap ton of money.
The max. The max they can give him is what he's going to get.
Yep, he's going to get every cent of it, too. Because right now, he's playing like one of the elite scorers in the league.
Okay, your thoughts, mixing this in with the Brady Watch. Steve in Taunton. Hi, Steve.
Hey, boys, what's going on? Hey, Maz, I can't believe it. I thought I had the wrong station there. Listening to you, loving the Celtics. Wow. Hey, anyway, Jason Tatum, besides his scoring, he's also patient, he's fluid, and he's also very calm with the basketball. He plays great defense. I mean, this guy is only 21 years old. Now, if he can keep his cool and not yell at refs, we got a bigger superstar than Paul Pierce ever was in Boston.
Okay, so like, let's just keep it in our pants. He's got to prove it on the level of, you know, East Finals, game on the line, you know, carrying you through playoff series into championships, and then he's greater than Pierce. I think the skill set is there to be that guy.
Yeah.
Pierce, I mean,
he's had a great month. I don't think it's a fluke. Let's see it in the playoffs.
Yeah, Pierce could close, right? I mean, Pierce could close. And so whether you love Pierce or not, when he took that little, you know.
Right elbow.
Oh, my gosh, it was automatic, right? It was automatic. And, you know, your point about Tatum's ability to go to the rim, the ball handling is improved by, I don't know, 500%.
Oh, tremendous.
It's ridiculous. I mean, he's blowing by guys now, and the way he's handling the ball in the perimeter, they're just guys that can't stay with him.
And you know what's crazy again? Like, I think part of the credit is this stupid effing All-Star weekend that these guys, like, I think it's, I find it so ridiculous the way those players treat that game. Like, you know, Kemba Walker isn't playing and won't play for a while because he had to max out in the F for Team Giannis. Like, oh my God, it's so stupid. Every other freaking sport, these players can't run from the thing fast enough. I mean, in the NFL, like, Brady wouldn't spit on the Pro Bowl if you paid him $1 billion to go to the thing. In baseball, the private planes are warming in the third inning for those guys to get the F out of there. Hockey players take fines so they don't have to play in the All-Star game. But basketball? So, that's my overall thesis on the All. I just find it so dumb. But it's really valuable to these guys. And he goes out for that All-Star weekend and gets his, you know, whatever, puffs his chest out and does his thing and whatever's going on there. And he comes out of the thing. And all of a sudden, you know, and I mean, I won't say all of a sudden like he sucked before, but he reaches a whole nother level. I think part of it is the confidence of coming out of that stupid weekend.
Oh, I don't rule that out for a second. I don't rule that out.
Like, this is what I am. This is where I belong.
Yeah.
This is who I am. And, like, it's just sort of, it's the way that sport is, that league is. It's weird.
It validates him in his own head. And then all of a sudden he goes out and he, you know, he freaking looks unstoppable, for crying out loud. He is filthy right now.
Ben in New Hampshire on line 7, if you could help me out there. Jimmy, I'm frozen here. Ben, go ahead. You're up next with Felger and Mass.
Kind of piggyback on what you're saying about coming out the All-Star game. I think him out in L.A., because I was watching that game, like, their late nights over there, and I was like, this is a different guy. And I don't know if it was, like, the Kobe thing, like, out there, but, like, and, I, you know, he see his tattoo that he got out there, and you're like, this is a different guy. Just, like, smooth and, like, just, like, the he was, like, raining threes, too, against, like, Portland. And I was like, he's just, like, toying with people. And I've never seen that from anybody,
so,
like, from him. And I'm like,
yeah, sorry, Ben. To say he's different is wrong, because he was good before. But he came out of that weekend. He's now toying with people. Like, that's true.
Yeah, he is. He's using them. Absolutely abusing them on the perimeter in particular. And when I say on the perimeter, I mean whether he's going by them or blasting a three in their face. Like, either way. It's just Chauncey Billups, he said unguardable. Right now, he is. How do you stop him right now? Everything's going in.
We're mixing some Tatum and Celtic stuff with our Brady watch, which continues. A lot of reporting today that doesn't bode well for Brady returning to the Patriots. Brian in Pennsylvania, what do you think?
I think Brady's gone. And if he doesn't have the balls, Murray kind of stole my thunder there. I think Giselle does. She's like, we're going to stop shaving and start Brazilian waxing your face, Tommy, if you don't get out of here.
So, I mean, she right again, like,
I just think those in his circle, his wife and Alex Guerrero, like, you know, those are two incredibly important people in his life. How do they look at Brady the same way, Tom Brady the same way, if he goes out and he does this dance and now he's interested in being a free agent, first time ever, meets with teams, gets bowled over with big offers, and then at the end of the day goes back to the Patriots? Like, it's a...
Seriously. Yeah, like, I mean, Tom, you've been bitching about this
right
for 2 years, and for being honest, for longer than that. Now here you are, and they're treating you the exact same way. They haven't even called you, haven't even given you an offer, and we're still going to go back?
No, he's Belichick's puppy.
I mean, they must look at, like, Giselle, who negotiates, you know, huge deals too, and is, I don't know, probably cutthroat in her world, probably looks at him and says,
yeah,
what, dude, grow a pair.
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah, do you want to borrow my heels when you go into the talks?
Hey, G, could you make me a smoothie? Sure thing, honey. Get right to it.
Oh, Alan in California, you're up next. Hi.
My God, would we even freaking be here if Bill Belichick could have just made some decent draft picks in the last 4 or 5 years?
So, okay, he's drafted in your phone. Again, don't talk to us on a speakerphone. Brady's being driven out because Bill's drafted so poorly. He's drafted so poorly that they made 4 Super Bowls in 5 years. Like, this is, I have a hard time with this. Like, Brady's been surrounded by such garbage, and they've just not put the right people around him. It's been so bad that they went to 4 Super Bowls in 5 years. Do I have that right? Is it 4 and 5?
Well, 4 and 5 before this past one.
Right, so 4 and 6, whatever. It's been such a, Brady's been put in such a bad spot that they went to 4 effing Super Bowls in the last, whatever, half decade.
Okay, but
so come on.
Yeah, but Brady being, and I'm nitpicking here, but Brady being put in a bad spot and them drafting well are two different things. Brady hasn't been in a bad spot, but they've drafted poorly.
They have. And if they drafted well, he would have stayed?
No, that's asinine.
I mean, if they were still dinking him around at the negotiating table and Bill was still gloom in the office and still, you know, in Brady's eyes, mistreating him, but he had drafted a little bit better, we wouldn't be in this spot. If they had drafted better, they'd be willing to pay him $35 million a year?
Yeah, to me, that's really the core issue. It's got nothing to do with how they drafted or anything else.
You want a new update here?
I want everything.
All right, this just posted on ProFootballTalk.com. Ian Rappaport of NFL Media has named the Chargers, Raiders, and Colts as teams Don Yee has met with about Tom Brady this week in Indianapolis. The Giants, named by a different NFL Media reporter as a potential suitor, were not listed in Rappaport's report. So the Colts.
Colts. You're hearing this now multiple times today. Right, was that Darlington who said it? No, it was Orlovsky.
Yeah, who said it
this morning Indianapolis he thinks is a good fit for Brady, that they have a good offensive line, and he thinks that he and Frank Reich, Brady and Frank Reich, would work very well together in Indy.
So, like,
and Brady would play indoors at age 43.
Just open tampering. Like, you're not supposed to talk. You can't, you know, and as you, I think, tried to find out behind the scenes, the Pats can't even grant permission technically. It's not really allowed. And yet, so Yee, is Yee openly saying that? I mean, no way. But, so anyway, Yee, I'm sorry, Murray, are you still?
So now I went to the actual NFL.com article here. So Don Yee and fellow agent Carter Chow represent Brady, league spokespersontelling Rappaport teams are only allowed to talk about their own players in those conversations. So, yeah, it's just really that's the thing. It's Brady's agent talking to teams in Indy at the combine, Raiders, Chargers, and Indianapolis Colts. That's the headline.
So think of that like that. This is the classic way to tamper, though. Well, no, we were talking to them about Anthony Costanzo something.
Exactly. Right?
Left tackle.
Yeah, we're talking about our safety.
Yeah, and then, by the way, the meeting's breaking up. And, by the way, if you guys need a quarterback, let us know. Right? You don't say Brady's name. Keep us in mind. We'd consider it. And then, who can prove what the hell you're talking about? Nobody. And first of all, no one's going to admit it. And secondly, that's how it happens. All that kind of garbage happens. Indy, though, is interesting. And I know you don't like the market for Brady.
I mean, that's another place I can't envision him. He makes sense for them. If I were the Colts,
Sure.
If I were the Colts, all in for Brady. Like, that could be the last piece.
Right.
That's a Super Bowl team with Tom Brady, potentially.
And don't they have the most cap space?
I think they do. I think they do. And so, like, that I get. Protection, environment, indoors, whatever. It's money to spend to help surround him. Good coaching, offensive-minded. Like, from the team standpoint, perfect. Like, absolutely.
Hey, Quentin.
Yeah.
So
hey, Tommy,
actually,
what's up, man?
Maybe
hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
There's a little...
Hey, you fired up?
Maybe it's not so perfect for Brady when it comes to that. We continue the thoughts on the Brady watch, Celtics and Tatum. Just a real quick Red Sox minute. There was breaking news today on the Red Sox in terms of their rotation to start the year. Maz has a thought on that. We'll do it all after Murray's update.
Hey, you fired up?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's Bruins game day. Felger and Maz are live at Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
It sucks. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. But I think just given the history and, you know, when we look back at last year and even the spring training that I had last year, you know, there were different circumstances that led up to the things that we had to do. You know, there were certain things that we were allowed to do and weren't allowed to do because of, you know, the 2018 season. But I think they just want me to get fully stretched out and get where I need to be. You know, I started 2 weeks late, so I got to stay 2 weeks late. You know, simple math will tell you that kind of makes sense. So, you know, do I like it? Absolutely not. Do I respect it? 100%. But is what it is. You move forward and keep working.
Quick Red Sox minute here from Banner's Kitchen and Tap on Felger Maz, presented by DraftKings. Hard to take it seriously when they're playing ping pong in the background.
Isn't that maddening? It drives you bananas.
Jesus. Okay, but anyway, that's Chris Sale. He's going to start the year on the injured list 2 weeks. What's your take on that, Maz?
I call bullcrap. I think this whole thing with Chris Sale and pneumonia couldn't be a bigger pile of bullcrap if it was sitting right in front of us over there.
And that's what they're saying. Barrel. He was behind from the start because of the pneumonia.
Yeah, I just think the whole thing's a lie. And because to me, they got a lot of grief, the Red Sox did, for approaching a real sort of passive, laissez-faire, nonchalant approach with the pitchers last spring. They weren't ready to go. They started out horrendously, and they effectively buried themselves for the whole year. They never really fully dug out of that. And then, if you remember, Alex Cora defended it before he got fired, right? He defended it. Then Ron Renneke took over and said, we're going to go with, you know, back to the spring program where everybody's throwing six times. Everybody's going to make six starts. But Sale conveniently came up with pneumonia. Sale, who everybody knows has to be managed. So I think they're worried about blowback if they say, you know.
So what you're saying is they're managing him again.
Yeah.
They're putting him on a pitch count already.
Yep.
They're starting him out slow, but they don't want to be criticized for it because it didn't work last year. So we'll call it pneumonia this year.
Correct. And he might have had pneumonia, like walking pneumonia, whatever they said. He might have. I don't know.
I mean,
feels fishy for a 31-year-old or whatever he is.
To me, it felt fishy when they said he had pneumonia. And then a couple days later, he did his, you know, his press conference there from. He looked fresh as lettuce.
Yeah, I don't know what he had or what he didn't have, okay? And so, but I'm telling you, even if he had pneumonia, it's February 27th. The season opens in a month. Like, a month. That's plenty of time to get ready.
God, unbelievable.
Plenty of time. So the real reason is they don't want him starting the year. And maybe it's also related to the elbow, but I think the bigger thing is his history. I think the pneumonia thing is one big, gigantic steaming pile of bullcrap. Huge steaming pile of manure. Huge. Like, I
that's the Red Sox way.
Oh, God, I think it's such a blatant lie. It's like, I don't buy it for a second. I don't. I think they know the guy's made with popsicle sticks and toothpicks and, you know, picture hanging wire. Like, that's how they hold him together, and he'll never make 200 innings again, at least not if we make it into October, so we're going to hold him out.
Okay, there's your Red Sox minute. We also have Tatum and the Celtics and the Brady Watch. Mike in Danvers on that. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Listen, great show. Look, this whole Patriots thing, I think it's pretty simple. I think Brady went to Kraft and said, look, give me a couple more years. I can retire. We'll do the whole party thing. And I think what happened is Bill got pissed, and he said, I'm not going to let this Garoppolo thing happen to me again. And I think he went to Kraft and said, listen, I'm not going through this bull again. It's not going to happen. So I don't want Brady here. I can win without Brady. And I think that's where it is now, Mike. I think they're all in deadlock.
Something like that. I think something like that. If it were just purely up to Kraft, it would have a whole different tone to it. If it were up to Kraft. Again, the Rappaport report, and Rappaport from the NFL Network is generally ownership sourced, says they're going to meet during the combine. There's plans to meet during the combine. They're expected to meet during the combine. Except there is no meeting during the combine. There was no expectation on Don Yee or Bill Belichick. They didn't expect to meet. So as Tom Curran points out in his most recent column, who was expecting it? The Crafts. The Crafts were the ones expecting it and the ones that want it. So if it were up to Robert, the whole thing would look and feel different. But it's up to Bill. This is why there's been no contact. This is why Brady's entertaining offers. And this is why we are where we are. I think everyone would generally agree with that.
And I also think this is why, you know, the Crafts want it. want people to think that they didn't step on Belichick's toes the first time with Garoppolo. Because the only thing I would add to the caller's take, because I think he's generally got a good idea as to how it went down, is that I wonder if the Crafts also had some regret. And they said, maybe we shouldn't have stepped on Garoppolo. Maybe we should have played that one out. And, you know, look, they won another Super Bowl, so it wasn't necessarily the wrong decision. But I wonder if they also said, we won't step on you again, Bill.
Trey in the car just jumped on Tatum. I want to hear from him. Go ahead, Trey.
How are you doing today, guys?
Good, Trey. What do you got?
So, I think Tatum potentially has the potential to be a superstar. And I also think Jaylen Brown has the potential to be an all-star at least in the upcoming years. So I think our team's good set on the future. I don't think we're going to win a championship this year. But if we add just a few more pieces, a big and some bench players, I think we have a real shot, especially in the East. All we really have to get through is Giannis and the Bucks. I'm not really scared of Embiid and Simmons. And every other team's just all right to me.
So, look, in the short term, you want to pass Toronto because you don't want to be on the road in the second and third round. I think you're better than Toronto, but if that's a road series, and then you have the Bucks in a road series, tough road, even though I think you're neck and neck with the Bucks, if not a better overall team than the Bucks, really. But being on the road hurts. So that's in the short term. In the long term, Brown and Tatum are great building blocks. I mean, it is a little early, right? Young guys generally don't win in that league. It took Steph Curry and that group 7 years, right? So,
and next 3 years.
Right.
Guys are, you know, playing the way that they're playing right now, they should win a championship.
If Tatum and Brown got through this year, it would be early and ahead of schedule by the way it's typically done in the NBA. What I think is just important to just point out for a second is that this wasn't Danny's plan. I saw this Furkacka thing on NBC Sports Boston. These, like, they run during the commercial breaks, but it's like a produced thing, and it's about Danny Ainge, how he masterfully spun these drafts. Which is true. Tatum was a grand slam home run of a draft pick, right? When the consensus was Fultz and Ball, and he went Tatum, and he crushed it. I mean, he deserves all the credit in the world for that. But in that piece that you guys are running out there on NBC Sports Boston, you left out a pretty big chunk of the story, which is that he wanted it to be Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis. That was the plan. And that Tatum and Brown were gone, or at least some combination thereof. The plan was to use the young guys as chips and for the group to be Irving, Anthony Davis, and Gordon Hayward. Just keep that in mind. So it's all working out. That was a great draft pick. I'm not taking that away from him. But what was the plan? It seems like you left that out of your little production there out on tape. A shocker there. Shocker.
I think that's what they call an inconvenient truth.
Yeah, you left that piece out. The thing was like 4 minutes long. It went on forever. You couldn't have spent 10 seconds on the fact that they've tried to trade these guys for Anthony Davis? Oh, I see. I guess that didn't make the final cut out there at NBC Sports Boston. Good God. That bugs the crap out of me. It's okay. It takes some luck as well. Like, you know, the Patriots certainly got lucky with Brady, and it happens. But the plan was for it to be Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis, not Brown and Tatum. Let's keep that in mind. You can weigh in on that. The Brady Watch will reset all those thoughts as well off the top of the next hour. Our long commercial-free segment is next.
Felger and Mazz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
From Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden, it's Bruins Game Day with Felger and Mazz on your home of the Bruins, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is amazing. Players are better younger. Jason Tatum yesterday, right in front of our eyes, he's 21 years old. And I want you to think to yourself, at 21, were you mature enough to be the best player, the best young player on the Eastern Seaboard? Because Jason Tatum, folks, is 21 years old, and he is now the Boston Celtics best player, and he is a star. He put on a clinic yesterday. Outside, inside, he puts the ball on the deck. He can handle it. It's a remarkable thing we're seeing. I think Boston's one of four teams in the NBA that can win the championship. Milwaukee, Lakers, Clippers are the other. Then there's a handful of Denver and Utah's and Philly's that are interesting. But Boston, to me, checks all the boxes. If you're a gambling person, they have the most unique odds as an underdog. They check the coach box. Excellent. They check the multiple players capable of scoring 20 box. Check. They now check that we've got a star we can go to with 2 minutes left box. Check.
Colin Coward weighs in. You know, it's real, Murray.
You know, he's staring right in the camera, too. He's giving that an old
either that or he's baked.
Monologue.
So that was on Monday, even before we got to the last couple games. That was after that Laker loss.
These last two have been real impressive and fun, too. Like, I don't know, that game's on late, but that second quarter last night, he's going toe-to-toe with Donovan Mitchell. Like, it was fun.
Excellent. Great stuff. Him and Donovan Mitchell back and forth. He's better than Mitchell.
He is.
He's longer.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
huge factor. Again, I'm a sizist, as you know.
But it does matter in basketball. Like, I get it.
I mean, I think it matters in a lot of sports. And, like, you like it in a quarterback.
Yes,
right?
I do.
So, like, I just think, and when you have Tatum's quickness, now you're screwed if you're a defender. Like, how do you stop that?
The Celtics are the hottest team in basketball. And I don't mean, like, they've won 9 of 10 or whatever that is. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about buzz.
Yeah, right.
Oh, sure.
They're the buzziest team in the sport right now. And he's the buzziest player.
No question.
Yeah, when you have a national guy like Colin Coward doing, monologue like that, and that's, again, before these last two games, they've arrived on a national scale.
So he says they're one of four teams that can win it all. Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, and Celtics. Maz, do you agree?
No. I don't agree. Again, to me, it's going to be one of probably three teams. It's going to be the Lakers, the Clippers, or the Bucks. And I just don't put the Celtics quite there yet. And I thought there were more teams potentially going into the season that could win the title.
How do they match up with the Lakers?
They've played the Lakers tough.
Well, the Clippers scare me more than the Lakers if I'm the Celtics, honestly. What scares me the most right now about the Celtics is if you're the 3 seed and you got to go Toronto, then Milwaukee. Again, I think you're better than Toronto and you're neck and neck with Milwaukee, but road teams, so you got to get the 2 seed. If they get the 2 seed, and they should with the way they're playing, they're a game behind, I think. I think, I've said all along, they at least go 6 against Milwaukee. If they get the 2 seed and they play the way they're playing now, they're going to beat Milwaukee. And they could beat the Lakers. I don't know about, if the Clippers get their act together, I think that's the best team. If they get their act together. And they're fully healthy and all of that. They've had some issues. But can they be one of the four? Yes, absolutely.
Clippers, to me, have the best roster.
Yes, I agree.
And to me, you see flashes from the Clippers, and we've seen them against the Celtics, where they're down 10 with 4 minutes to go. And all of a sudden, they rip off an 11-1 run, and now the game's even. And I just think it's,
And what's big for them is, even if they're the 3 seed, they're just playing one road series.
Right.
That if it's them and Lakers in the conference finals and they can be the 2 seed, it's no travel and it's like that whole thing's mitigated, which is kind of interesting. So, and I think really plays in their favor.
I mean, has that ever happened?
Even think of it.
How many teams even share arenas, right?
So, or cities like, the Nets and the Knicks. Have
right.
they ever been in a series?
Right. I don't know. I mean,
they must have been at some point.
Yeah. But, it's happened in baseball, right? You had the Subway Series. But with the Mets and the Yankees, but I can't think of another occasion really where something like that's happened. I mean, that's a big break for the Clippers.
Huge. The Felger big board is Clippers 1, maybe Celtics 2. It depends where they finish. I think they can beat the Bucks, but the Raptors and the Bucks, I don't know, on the road. It really depends where they finish. But if they're the 2 seed, they can absolutely beat the Bucks, and I think they can beat the Lakers. Not the Clippers fully loaded. So, I think they're that close, so I think they absolutely belong to be mentioned in that mix.
I think one of the LA teams is going to win it.
Yeah, but they play like this. I mean, they really could have a deeper run than I expected. And now I'm not worried about Philadelphia at all.
Oh, trash.
But I still thought they would be a bad matchup size-wise for the Celtics, but now Embiid's hurt. They don't know when the hell Simmons is coming back. Al Horford's been useless. I still can't believe Brett Brown's the coach there. They're a dumpster fire.
Trash team.
I'm not counting out Philly yet.
Oh, Maz, count them out.
Maz,
nope.
They're
count them out.
They're
I learned my lesson in basketball. February's a crap month.
They're done.
A lot of teams going to the tank in February. A lot of teams.
Maz. They are toast.
They're not toast.
What if they're the 5 seed?
Okay, well,
so playing three series on the road?
I'm not telling you. I'm just telling you.
They're going to win 3 straight road series?
I'm just telling you it's not over yet.
Their second best player can't shoot?
It's not over
yet. And is hurt? And now their best player's hurt? And was a dog to begin with? Toast.
I know, you buried them last year, too, though, and they made the conference final.
No, they didn't.
Or the conference semi.
They lost in the second round to Toronto.
Seven games.
That was still a loss. Do I give them a win now?
On a ball that bounced in off the rim.
From the NBA champion.
So
they lost.
Don't count them out yet.
I'm counting them out.
Don't count them out.
I count them out before the season began.
Yeah, probably. That was a mistake.
That is a trash team.
Don't blame me for your mistake.
That's a garbage team.
Not my fault.
We can weigh in on that when we weigh in and we continue with the Brady Watch. We'll reset all the latest here in a second. But first, Paul in Maine, go.
Yeah, hey, guys, on the Brady Watch, the logical conclusion for both camps is to part ways. I think that's why there's been no reported rancor, because Brady's gone and both sides know it. I mean, just think about it. Last summer, he wanted to become a free agent. He moved his family out of town. Why would Bill all of a sudden break form and mortgage the future for a short-term goal is by no means a lock. I mean, the only thing I will say, if Brady does melt and come back, he should be ball gagged and strapped to Bill Belichick as dominatrix.
Seriously, though.
He is Bill Belichick's whipping, you know, CBT toy, if you will.
Yeah, his puppy. Like, you kick him when you're angry, but he still comes back, for crying out loud. I told you, if Brady comes back on something less than a multi-year deal, fully guaranteed, he's a sucker.
Joe and Lincoln, go.
Yeah, Greg Bedard kind of told it to you, my opinion. Last year, Brady got screwed. Belichick had like 75 spare parts on defense, and one offensive lineman goes down, and they're screwed. And don't forget, Dante Scarnecchia is retiring. So I think Brady sees that this is not a year that they're competing seriously for the Super Bowl, and he's a competitor. He's going to go.
Okay, possibly the case.
I mean, based on his attitude, I think he saw that last year.
And I think that that's fine. You know, that's fine. If he's complaining, though, about what he's been surrounded by, I would just say, man, come on. Whatever it was good enough to make the Super Bowl 4 out of 6 years. And last year you were one defensive stop away from being a bye team and probably in the conference final again. So as bad as it may have seemed on some plays and series and weeks, was it really that bad of a spot to be if you want to win? Like, you know, don't go too far with that. But there has been plenty of reporting today on the Brady Watch. Most of it bad in terms of, well, if you want Brady to come back to New England, a lot of the reporting today you're not going to like. But we'll reset it for you and give it to you right after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.